In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On this holy night, when our Lord instituted the memorial feast of his own body and blood for us and for our salvation, we marvel and adore our incarnate God who left his throne in heaven to be conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin. He who is spirit took on flesh. He who is without form and substance became like us. He personally united his divine nature to the human nature and thus exalted our humanity into the divine. We confess that no man can save. All have sinned. All have fallen short. Even a perfect man is still riddled with original sin. So no man can save. All those born in the natural way are under the condemnation of sin, the curse, and the devil. But it is also true that God cannot save. That is, as long as he remains a spirit, he cannot bleed for us, he cannot suffer for us, he cannot die in our place to take away our sin, our curse, our guilt, or our hell. So Jesus of Nazareth is our Savior, according to both his human nature and his divine nature. The glory, honor, and praise are him according to both, for he is one person. Thus, we worship and adore our incarnate God according to his person. In his person, he secured our salvation. And now in his person, he gives us that salvation. Tonight, I would like to ponder the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." In this supper, we remember Christ. We remember Christ because we remember our own sins. The good we want to do, we have not done. The evil that we do not want to do, this we keep on doing. Perhaps particular sins still haunt us from our youth. Days long past, perhaps even the past week, we found less than acceptable. By God's grace, we do not commit outwardly blatant sins in defiance against God. But laziness, discontentment all too often fill our hearts and minds, unhappy with the life that our Lord has given out of his love. So we have not rigorously fought against our own sinful nature and the sins that it pops up in our mind. But we have all too often succumbed. The flesh is still quite active in us, leading us to all kinds of failures against God and his word. And that is why we remember Christ in this supper. We approach in faith knowing that there is no salvation apart from him. We are leaving earth and we are entering heaven. We are leaving the holy place and entering into the Holy of Holies, where angels step with caution. And yet we are unafraid. We come in humility, for we know our sins. Yet we also come with boldness and confidence. We come remembering Jesus, who died for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. We come knowing that God is merciful to us for his Son's sake. So to remember Christ is to eat in faith, believing that he alone is our Savior who redeemed us with his blood. He alone has removed the curse. He alone has opened the gates of heaven with his own precious blood. He alone grants us access. So we come in faith, asking God not to remember the sins of our youth or our many transgressions, but out of his goodness and mercy to remember us for his goodness' sake, O Lord. So we are not the only ones who are remembering Christ, but in this supper, the Father also remembers Christ. Divine remembering is not an intellectual recall. Even the Christian's remembering is not an intellectual recall. It is to remember in faith. So even a little child, a nursing infant, can do that. But when God remembers, He acts in the world. So the Father remembers that Jesus died in our place, suffering our curse, and now He acts by pouring out on us the blessings of that death in this supper. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He does not condemn, but He forgives and He saves and He delivers according to Christ. He knows how weak we are and that apart from Christ, there is no help or salvation. So when God remembers Christ, He forgives us. Thus, we approach this supper not simply remembering what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but we approach remembering what God the Father is doing for us today, giving us forgiveness found in Christ. God's remembrance is forgiveness. He remembers Christ, and so He forgets our sins. They have been paid in full. Thus, the cross is vital to this supper. Without the cross, there is no supper. So also, the body and blood of our Lord is vital to this supper. If the bread were only bread, if the wine were just wine, then God would not be remembering Christ, and there would be no forgiveness, life, or salvation present for us. At best, we would be remembering all that Jesus did, trying to recreate a past event. But there would be no blessings from God, no act of God, no deliverance from God, if it were not Christ's body and blood. But it is Christ's body and blood. And so we are not only remembering Christ in what He has accomplished, but the Father is also remembering Christ. And so He pours out that forgiveness on us as we eat and drink. The bread and wine are not a sign of forgiveness, but Christ's present body and blood are the sign that forgiveness is also present. God has remembered, and He is blessing. He is acting in our history at this time and in this place to deliver us from all evil. But we are also remembering, not simply a past event, but we are remembering Christ's second coming at the last day. That is, we remember His promise that He will come to redeem us and take us out of this earth and into our home of heaven. So our hope of eternal life and all the good blessings to come, our hope that the Lord will come to us in mercy and love and not in wrath and condemnation, is found in the cross. The supper, then, which we celebrate at this time and in this place, is the golden thread, the bridge that unites us to Calvary and also us to the last day. God has remembered the work of His Son, and Christ will return on those clouds for us to gather us, to save us from perishing in this world, to bring us to the fullness of redemption. So we remember His promise, "I will be with you always to the very end of the ages." For as long as this world spins and two or three gather in faith in the name of Christ, then there in that Holy Supper, we find our Lord's body and blood. So we eat His body. We drink His blood. We remember Him. There is humility because we do deserve death. But there is also no fear, for He has borne our sins in our place. There is hope because He has died in our place. There is joy, for He is coming to take us to our heavenly home. We cannot boil the supper down to simply looking back at Christ's cross, and neither can we boil it down to only looking in the future. We're not trying to recreate history or live in the past, nor trying to pretend like we are already in the fullness of God's glory. But right here and right now in this time and place, our Lord brings to us eternal gifts. And so right here and right now, we remember his death. We remember his second coming in faith. And so in faith we eat, in faith we drink. And as we remember Christ in faith, the Father also remembers Christ. And when God remembers, he pours out forgiveness, life, and salvation on his people. By eating the supper, we are forgiven. Or to speak even more clearly, by eating Christ's body and drinking his blood with our physical mouths, we are forgiven by the Father. God remembers what his Son has accomplished, and he pours out on us those eternal gifts won by the Son. And so this is Christ's memorial meal. Christ's body present on this altar bears witness to his redemptive acts, calls the faithful to remember his deliverance in joyful faith, and calls the Father to remember his children in mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.